Joe Biden is currently sitting at a 39% approval rating. That's according to the 538 average. Donald Trump is getting kicked off state ballots, but he is currently dominating the Republican primary, and the polls for the general election show Biden facing a potential loss should the election be held today. So I wanted to start out with this just to clarify. I figured we might literally all be in the same exact scenario here. Did all of us support Bernie in 2020, then vote Biden in 2020, and then plan to vote for Biden again in 2024? That's me. What about you guys?
That's me, but Micah might be the odd one out.
Yeah, I didn't support Bernie in 2020. I did meet Bernie, and I thought he was a nice guy, but I was not a Bernie. I was an apprehensive Pete Buttigieg supporter.
Oh, no. Apprehensive.
Nowadays, I was a little bit doubtful. You know, I was skeptical of some of his ideas, but I thought he was a really smart guy. I maintain that. The guy speaks like 11 languages. Nowadays, if I could go back, I'd probably be a Bennett bro. For various reasons. Michael
Senator
Bennett.
From Colorado.
Michael Bennett. Not the most electable. Like, Joe Biden was the most electable. Michael Bennett was very underrated, folks.
If you're going to say Michael Bennett, you might as well just say John Delaney at that point, Micah.
Well, so here's the difference, right? Michael Bennett supports ranked choice voting. Michael Bennett's entire platform was about helping poor people. That's why he lost, because primary voters are not poor people. They're richer folks. That's why that we talk about student debt relief, not expanding the child tax credit, and the EITC and food stamps. Right. And so that was not a very winning message. And also, he's not necessarily the most charismatic person in the world. But I maintain that he probably would have been one of the better presidents. Presidential choices.
Maybe one day it'll be Michael Bennett, John Delaney, Prez VP. And I think John Delaney will be our most jacked VP if that ever does happen.
Low bar, but I think he would be. Have you seen that man?
He's jacked. I'm telling you, he's got some muscles on him. He's on that Jeff Bezos style look, you know, bald on top, but he's jacked. I mean, that's the best thing you can do when you're a bald.
For drinking the blood of children. I mean, I think we should all be federally funded blood of children, I think, at least.
If you got jacked for drinking children's blood, then Biden should be a fucking professional bodybuilder at this point, right? So, all right. Well, okay. Well, we're not exactly quite in the same boat there. Micah, filthy centrist, says he's a Michael Bennett stan in 2020. But apparently, I mean, we all plan on voting for Biden, I guess, in 2024. And so I guess transitioning to the Republican primary, you know, what do you guys think? Is there literally any realistic chance that it's not just a Biden and Trump rematch? And is that desirable? Like, if we could pick different candidates, you know, who would we pick out of the Republican primary field and out of the depth chart of the Democrats to be the matchup in 2024, if we could?
Chris Christie, baby. I mean, there's absolutely no chance. Ronald McDaniel, the entire Republican Party establishment has been very clear that they're not going to try to rig the game in favor of Nikki Haley. And that's the only way she'd ever make it through.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Christie is probably your best bet, like a blue state, red Republican governor. But
I don't know. I mean, like, Nikki Haley, she seems to be making some gains in these early states. Like, she's polling a pretty close second place, I think, in, like, New Hampshire. I think she's polling pretty well, obviously, in South Carolina, where that's her home state. I mean, you know, is there a chance that, because that's kind of what happens sometimes, right, is that you rack up strong performances in these early states, and that swings the polls, you know. Is there no chance? Like Trump might get fucking convicted or some shit in the middle of this. Like, is there no chance that Trump isn't the nominee?
I think that helps him. I think that helps
you
him.
You think getting convicted helps him? Jesus.
With the Republican primary voters? Absolutely. I mean,
that's some street cred
the
now convicted.
There's a reason why some people are talking about this. We have a bunch of lazy journalists which wanted a competitive primary story because Ron DeSantis was polling better in the past. He capsized. She's not doing that great. She's polling at 17% nationally amongst Republicans. Ron DeSantis is at 17.8%. Trump is like he still has a majority. We've never had a Republican primary that's been this uncompetitive and somebody else has won. That'd be a crazy upset. And I think it's really, honestly, it's like nothing's impossible, right? We're epistemologically barred.
Anything's possible.
Absolutely knowing anything. But it is extraordinarily, it's as likely to me that Nikki Haley becomes the nominee as like Dean Phillips becomes the nominee.
Yeah, I think the only realistic chance Trump loses is that he like trips and falls and dies. Like I don't think there's any political process by which someone else is rising. Like in that 538, yeah. Just like Micah said, Nikki Haley's about doing as well as DeSantis, and they're both at like 17%. And you know, maybe they rise up. I think that's roughly where like Bernie was at around the first primaries. There's a chance, but Bernie was like a uniquely popular candidate in the way that Trump was a uniquely popular candidate, like feeding meat to the base of that party. And I just don't think that like Nikki Haley, the more neoconservative approach that she's really leaning on, or Ron DeSantis with leaning on like, I don't know, hating trans people, just seems to be getting it. They want the racism. They want the racism, and that's Trump.
Like my prediction is
they want Orange Man.
Well, I think that the Republican primary is going to get wrapped up actually pretty soon. Because I agree with you guys largely. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate. Like I think that Haley has a very, very small chance of winning basically any of the early states. And I think especially Haley, like she's going to lose her home state, and that's typically like a knockout blow for anyone's election. Like, you know, Warren dropped out after she lost Massachusetts, Rubio dropped out after losing Florida. Like, if you lose your home state, I mean, what are you really going to win, right? And South Carolina is a pretty early state. Haley's probably focusing a lot of her resources there and in New Hampshire. Like, if she ends up losing, like, 50-25 to Trump, I feel like she drops out. And then after that, it's like, is DeSantis really going to stay in until Florida and then just lose Florida? Like, he'll probably drop out as well. And then what are you left with, right?
It looks like so New Hampshire is the state that she should win because it's open primary. There's so many independents. It's a more libertarian, like anti-Trump state. She looks like she's going to lose. Like the fact that we're even talking about how she could win, we're relying on bad polls, which she'll often show her behind. And like, we're assuming Chris Christie's going to drop out. All of this just to win one state that has barely any electoral votes when we know she's going to walk into a catastrophe in every other state. So I think, I think it's Jover. It's Jover for them.
Something worth considering is that in the Democratic primary, it's roughly proportional representation. Like there's a little bit of fiddling with it. There's still the super delegates, but it's roughly proportional representation, like STV is, like, so we'll be talking about in like half an hour. But in the Republican primary, my understanding is that every state is winner takes all. So unless she's like 50% or above, that's it. It doesn't matter. So
yeah, it's a really weird system. I guess to be fair, like all the primaries are kind of weird. Like it should aren't the primaries like just all on the same day? You know, it should be stupid. You know, just put all the primaries on the same day and then make it ranked choice and just do that, right? But we have this weird fucking system of primaries. I don't know why, because primaries can be anything we want them to be. The parties just choose.
The only argument I could see for staggering primaries is that maybe it lets you see a candidate's speaking ability or campaigning ability or whatever, applied in practice for new candidates. But aside from that, like ranked choice vote all in one day, I would want to see it something like over 2 months or something. Instead, it's like this year long drag out. But
what I'm saying, just make all the primaries primary June 1st.
Yeah, cut them off.
Yeah, fuck you, Micah.
Well, I think you can regionally test it. Like, I think that you could split the country into like five different regions, and then you rotate it like each cycle, and like they go and they start out there, and like that's the area where they can campaign, because they can't campaign nationwide really sustainably. And, like, they get a bunch of extra attention, and they go nationally. I guess that'd probably be better than what we have. But like Iowans, like F these guys. These guys get way too much attention.
That's true. Who gives a shit about Iowans
and New Hampshireans?
Isn't that what happened with like? So there's this whole controversy that like isn't it like no one's appearing on the New Hampshire ballot, something along those lines, or some state. I know in Florida, the Democrats basically rigged it in favor of Joe Biden. And I'm not trying to say that lightly, but like the committee apparently maybe didn't understand.
And they're not having a primary.
No, it's because the Democratic Party. So New Hampshire, I don't know why New Hampshire thinks that it can pretend that it has the ability to make this rule. New Hampshire says we're the first primary. That's what we decided. But then the Democratic Party is like, well, actually, you're just kind of a cog in the machine of the Democratic primary. We can actually organize our primaries however the fuck we want. That's when this movement to make South Carolina the first primary kind of comes out ahead, where I think the Democratic Party like voted to make South Carolina the first primary, but then New Hampshire was like, well, we're just not going to have a primary if we're not first.
In defense,
and it's like, well, who gives a shit about you anyway?
Also a law is my understanding is that it was a law that they had to be the first primary. And
no, it's a law. No, but SDL, it's a law in New Hampshire. Like New Hampshire says, our law says we have to be first, and it's like, well, why do we care about that? You're some stupid ass state. Nobody gives a fuck about.
The New Hampshire Democratic Party, the argument they gave is like, oh, our hands are just tied. We have to be the first. And like, I don't know whether that's actually true, but like, that's the argument they made.
It's so stupid. Like, we could make
I think it's absolutely cope. And you know, it's really funny that South Carolina is the first one. I mean, it makes sense. The current DNC chair's Jamie Harrison. He ran for Senate in South Carolina. He's in South Carolina. And Jim Clyburn, Joe Biden, they all had a vested interest in it becoming first. But yeah, they're just coping.
Well, it's also like it appeals to me the argument that South Carolina is like a better representation, not only of the base of the Democratic Party, but also like who's most likely to win the primary. Because currently in Democratic Party politics, it seems like basically unless you can get a huge proportion of black people to vote for you, you're just not going to win a national Democratic primary. Like that's been the story of like the last 20 or 30 years of Democratic politics is like, who do black people in these southern states vote for? Because you win the whole South, and that's a huge advantage, right? Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, Obama and Hillary were pretty competitive on the black vote, but that's one of the reasons Obama was actually able to win that in a pretty big upset was because he was competitive with the black community against Hillary. And so, yeah, like making South Carolina first kind of makes sense. Like, who cares what all these fucking white corn farmers in Iowa think? Like, it's pretty much, you know, black and Hispanic people are kind of the base of the Democratic Party.
I think it's definitely better than Iowa. I think ideally you pick the first primary state if we're going to do this as a state that represents like the actual demographics of the ideal Democratic coalition that we're pursuing, and we put it in the swing state, so all that campaign time actually might yield us some votes in the general election. So that'd probably be like a Michigan.
Wait, you know what I'm hearing? Hold on, Micah. Well, you know what I'm hearing? What's the state that's pretty fucking diverse and represents like a pretty broad swath of Democratic base? We both know the answer, Micah.
Texas.
It's Texas. Texas should be the first primary.
But it's not a swing state yet. Like they could do that in like 4 years.
Texas is a swing state. Micah, you were posting Biden 2024 going to win Texas. We're a swing state nowadays, baby.
If we can get our turnout up and we can get our party institution working to get Latino turnout at the same area where African American turnout is, then we are swing state, or we might just be a tilt blue state. But until that happens, it's gonna be tough. But a man can dream.
You gotta have
the Blexus is what we're working for.
I guess the take I always had is that the simplest way to do the starting states, so let's say you do something like Micah's and you divide into 10, 10, 10, 10, you know, five sets. The first 10 should just be the 10 swingiest states. And like, that's it. And then just do the next 10, the next 10.
That's actually
10,
such 10, a good 10. Point.
Yeah, like just do it by how close it was in the last five elections or whatever. You know,
The only thing is like at a certain point, like the last bunches might not even matter because like it might be decided already. But I suppose it's just going to be being the last thing is always like you're just going to kind of be waiting for the inevitable to happen in most cases.
Yeah, but I think that's all right if those the last states are all going to be like the hyper blue states. Like if I don't know, I take very heavily like the actually being able to win elections concern. And so if swing state voters like you, which doesn't always like from a left or a right perspective, that's not always clearly like the centrist wins or the left winger wins or whatever. It's usually people who can like get out the base in a new way, which was Bernie Sanders in 2016, but not in 2020. I don't know. That'd be the general take I'd have. Put the swingier ones forward. That probably leans towards a more centrist bias, but it also leads towards like a getting uninvolved voters involved type bias.
We haven't answered the second question, which was Micah kind of said he said maybe a preferred Republican would be Chris Christie. If I had to pick of all the Republicans running, that's a fucking real tough one. I guess Chris Christie might be my preferred one amongst the Republicans. What about you?
I mean, who else? Like Vivek? Like,
yeah, I don't know. But would you agree, Esty? Is Chris Christie the harm reduction Republican?
I think Chris Christie is the harm reduction Republican, and Vivek is the accelerationist. Okay, he's like,
harm
he's
increasing like, he's the Republican.
He's the Posadist one. Like we put him in charge so that he creates the conditions for revolution. Okay.
Well, more interestingly, like, what about the Democratic side? Is Joe Biden our ideal candidate? Let's forget about, like, oh, name recognition, incumbency. Like, in terms of policy, is Joe Biden our preferred candidate? Like, or would we pick somebody different?
I think even Micah sounds like he wanted to pick someone to Biden's left, like Buttigieg, for example. But
I don't know about that. I don't know. Like, I think Biden was the best pick in terms of actually getting stuff done. In terms of, like, actual policy platforms, I don't know. Like, Biden's kind of protectionist, right? And, like, his immigration policies, you know, it's, so I suppose if we really thought about it, we could probably find some better folks. But like it's, you have to be, your practical ability is what's most important. And Biden got more passed than I imagine any other Democrat would in his position.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I guess in terms of pure policy, it's a tough one for me. I've always been a big fan of Elizabeth Warren, and I would have voted for her in the 2020 primary, but she just had, like, no shot of winning Texas. So I was like, oh, I'll go ahead and vote for Bernie. But I will say, like, I was very surprised. Like, I thought Joe Biden would just be a lot more milquetoast, like, moderate bullshit type president. But he's actually ended up, like, he's really, like, people say every Democratic president's the most progressive president in their lifetime, but he's really done a lot more than I thought he would do, right? And that's a pleasant surprise. So in terms of replacing him, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, I would say in terms of pure policy, maybe, like, a Katie Porter or Ro Khanna would be better, which, you know, triggers the shit out of Micah, but whatever. Who gives a shit what Micah thinks? But what about you, SDL? I mean, who would you
pick? If we could have just flipped Joe Biden and someone like Bernie Sanders, I think you would have seen, like, there's definitely marginal cases where a more left-wing president would have been better. Like, the strike on the railroads, right? That would have been an example where they wouldn't have forced on the bad deal. They might have forced on, like, the mediocre deal, and then that would have given more room to negotiate for better. Like, what happened?
Well, I feel like the deal was pretty good. I guess I'd have to relook over it, but I feel like Biden got a pretty reasonable deal done, did you not?
The deal that they put in, my understanding is that it didn't have any of the sick days, and it didn't have some of the limits to the scheduled railroading that they want to do. So, like, there were still, my understanding is, reductions in how many people were on trains and so on. But I guess the broader point is that I don't know that were it, say, like, a Sanders president or even a Warren president, that they would have forced the strike to shut down at all. Like, it's possible they would have, or it's possible they would have forced a deal that disbenefited the corporations. So I just, there's a marginal examples on domestic policy. There's immigration policy, obviously, which, like Mayorkas, like, initially it seemed like Biden and Mayorkas were really pushing for a major change to how the immigration system worked in, like, 2021, 2022, 2023, and they kept just getting held up by the courts. And that's sort of what the ACLU said. They were like, okay, as long as it seemed like this is good faith that they're trying to reform the system and not keep hundreds of thousands of people locked up, we're not going to sue them. And then the ACLU started suing them in, like, 2023, 2024, when they started changing their tune. And now Mayorkas is trying to, like, they're building border wall. They are restricting how many people can come. They're talking about people who have to apply in other countries. They're going back to, like, the standard centrist route.
But it's also,
and I'm sure some of that's for electoral reasons, but
it's also hard to, like, it's also hard to predict, right? Because the institutional environment does change people a lot, because I think what happens a lot of times is, like, a guy like Bernie, he might become president and realize, oh shit, like, there's a good reason for, like, 80% of the shit I was complaining about, right? And that seems to happen a lot, like, even in individual workplaces, like, when somebody says, oh, management's terrible, and then they become a manager and it kind of turns out, like, oh, I'm more effective, like, on the margin. But then it's harder to predict, like, what is the margin that Bernie would actually change a lot of stuff on and be good? Like, it's harder to say, because he's never, like, he was the mayor of Burlington, obviously, but he's never had, like, broad, like, executive experience.
I mean, like, I just don't think he would have gotten legislation passed. I don't see the infrastructure bill getting passed. I don't see the Safer Communities Act getting passed.
That's, like, strategically possible. Because, like, a guy like Joe Manchin might say, I just need to vote against everything Bernie Sanders proposes, because I can't even appear to be attached to Bernie Sanders. Whereas Joe Biden is a more centrist, like, I can work with him a little bit better more publicly. Like, maybe that's true.
I'm not sure if he would have even proposed that stuff. Like, and I think Bernie's very pragmatic for as progressive of a person he is. Like, I think he's, you know, one of the good ones in that respect. But I don't see him being as pragmatic and being as capable of getting this stuff done as Biden has. Biden has just a unique ability to get this stuff done. I mean, he did a much better job of getting legislation passed than Barack Obama did, in 2008 to 2010. Now, here's what I should say. Not only would I think Bernie be a less effective chief executive, I think Bernie would destroy us down ballot. Actually, I don't doubt that at all. I'm positive Bernie would destroy us down ballot.
I mean, from what I recall, in the 2016 general, which had way more polling done, because that was sort of when people were thinking about Bernie, he seemed to do much better. Like, I should say not much, but like 2 to 3 points better than Clinton in most of the swing states. Now, obviously, that's just polling, and the polling wasn't great that year. So it could turn out that he would have done even worse. But if you take the polling, you compare it to Clinton's polling, he was doing better.
I think that down ballot, because Micah has
Dean
a point.
Phillips,
like, I think
might do better.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead.
What's the argument?
So none of the negatives, like Fox News was not going after Bernie Sanders. I mean, if anything, a lot of the Republicans were saying, oh my God, look at how Hillary's rigging the system against Bernie. Once the attack mode goes on Bernie Sanders and they start running their negative stuff on him, like they did with Hillary Clinton, he would do way, way worse. Like it's like there's not even a chance in my mind. There are so many Democrats in this country, so many moderate people that vote for Democrats that do not cannot see themselves within Bernie Sanders' tent. They can see themselves within Biden's tent. And Biden was such a uniting figure for our party because I think he was able to bring in the progressives and he was acceptable to them. He was like the new FDR and he was able to bring in the moderate wing. I think Bernie would just lose this very big, significant moderate wing of the coalition.
Maybe. I mean, I think a lot of these things are hard to judge because Sanders is already self-described socialist. He's saying like the socialist word on stage and you could watch in real time his polls actually showed like the favorability slightly increased for the word. And I know that's like focusing on just the word and you're talking about more general attack ads, more general like attack on him. It's impossible to really evaluate this, right? But in my view, it seems like he's already got a shit ton of dirt on him just from how he identifies, and he seemed to do all right in the general polls, is my point.
I would have agreed more about the uncertainty in his general election performance in 2016, but I feel like by 2020, like Bernie was a pretty well-known national figure. I mean, you see the polling where like he literally has like an 80% national approval rating. Like people generally seem to
Bernie. I think he is the most popular Democratic politician with Biden. Like I could go pull up the YouGov, but he is like he's in the top 10 at least. And like the top one is like Barack Obama. It's all people who don't hold office anymore. He's the most popular, I think, who's holding office. I'm not trying to.
There's a bunch of Fox News watching working class Trump voters that I guarantee you say they approve of Bernie Sanders. But if they were ever given the choice to vote for a Republican or vote for Bernie Sanders, they absolutely would vote for the Republican.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there was a time when Bernie people were kind of resigned to Bernie being the nominee in 2020. Like he had basically won Iowa's popular vote. He won New Hampshire. He won Nevada. And there was that time between Nevada and South Carolina when there was a shitload of segments on left of center news like MSNBC, CNN, stuff like this, where it was like, you know, a bunch of these establishment people were like, oh, I guess Bernie's going to be the nominee. That's going to fucking suck. Right. And like you started to see like what that proto coverage, what like the proto coverage would look like. And I don't know. I mean, I really don't think it was
Democratic partisanship won out. I thought like people were vote blue no matter who for like 99% of people that I saw anyway. They were like, yeah, I'll take it over Republican.
I think Bernie would have won in 2020. I think the big question is like how. I mean, Mike is right though. The down ballot's harder to predict. Like, would we have won both of those Senate seats?
No,
like, that's a hard question.
I think Bernie would have.
For what it's worth, Clinton
lost,
did terrible honestly. Down ballot. Right, like part of the reason the Senate was so bad is because like the down ballot on Clinton was terrible. So like it's really like would Clinton Sanders have done worse? I don't know.
I think 2016 is different. I think 2016 is like I could see Bernie winning in 2020. I can't see him winning 2020. I think he would have just done really much worse than Biden. I think Biden was a much, much stronger campaign than Hillary Clinton's campaign. Even though I love Clinton, she's a queen.
I don't know, but I think there's a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people though. I think you might be underestimating how many people there are that are kind of like my grandma. Like when I asked her, she's like a conservative. She's been a conservative Texas woman, obviously her whole life, and pretty politically engaged, like relatively speaking, like she's a boomer, I guess. But like when I ask her about Bernie, her response is like, oh yeah, he seems great. He seems like a nice guy. You know, like it's just, I think there's just a lot of people that they just kind of vote based on vibes.
So many people.
There's a lot of people that vote based on vibes, and like Bernie's vibes are just kind of like better than Trump's, you know, especially in 2020.
I would just on the YouGov thing I was mentioning earlier, Sanders currently Q3 2023 in YouGov has a 51% approval. Biden has a 44%, just for an idea of it. And, you know, Clinton has a 43. So I'm not trying to say like this is objective proof he would have won the election. It's just that like it seems reasonable to me to think that he might have done the same or slightly
like
better.
You're too certain, enormously better. Micah's too certain.
Micah
too
was talking about humility earlier. Where is your humility now, Micah?
But it's just absolutely insane to me. It's absolutely insane take. But anyway, why don't we talk about our Senate map and our 2024 chances?
Oh God!
Have you guys seen the Senate map? Can we put the Senate map up?
270 to win. Let me look it up real quick. I mean, I think in the Senate, there's like some pretty bad shit.
It's a very bad map. So we have Ohio's up, Sherrod Brown. We have John Tester in Montana. He's up. We have a Nevada seat up. We have Arizona. We have Virginia, and we have Pennsylvania. And so the ones that are in red states is Ohio and Montana. Those are the most contested. Arizona, the Green Party has ballot access, which is going to be a problem. But abortion's also going to be on the ballot. And Carrie Lake is an awful candidate. But Kyrsten Sinema might run, which introduces spoiler risk for us.
All right, I need the Senate map. Let's look it up. Senate. There we go. 2024 Senate interactive map. Here we go. We got Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, all these guys. I don't know, guys. I mean, I feel like in the Senate, there's like a pretty strong headwind for Democrats to at least maintain control. Like, what do we imagine? Like, I guess Ohio and Montana are pretty big what ifs, but like, I don't know. It feels like John Tester and Sherrod Brown are pretty strong in those states. Like, I'm pretty confident in their ability to win again, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
So when was the last time we won in Ohio?
Well, outside of Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown. Yeah, Sherrod Brown is what I was going to say.
Tim Ryan lost 2 years ago, or last year, I suppose. We won in Ohio with Sherrod Brown 6 years ago. The cycle was 2018. That was a really good cycle for us. Now, we should probably look at the point differential to see if, because we're going to expect Sherrod Brown probably to do worse by like about at least 2 points than he did last time.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that's fair, but I mean, I think it kind of goes back to the 2024. Like, one of the things I have here is thinking about the 2024 election in general and the headwinds thereof. Like, Micah, you make a pretty strong case for that. Pretty much all the headwinds are in favor of Biden and the Democrats. Like, it looks bad right now, but you know, we're 11 months out. A lot of shit's going to change. The economy is probably going to continue to get better and better. Knock on wood, obviously, barring any sort of unexpected recession. And, you know, I mean, a lot of that infrastructure investment's coming online. Like, it just seems like it's not really going to be that bad of a Democratic year. And that's not to mention that Democrats have outperformed, like, every single election between 2020 and today. So, I mean,
sure,
you know, seems like the Democrats are going to
do. I will say
okay.
That. I'll add three pieces of data to this. First is that I pulled up the 2018 election. Sherrod won by maybe like 8 points. So he could comfortably win, even losing, say, 4 points or whatever. It would be close, but he could do it. So I don't
know. Well, if he lost, he got 53.4% of the vote, right?
Well, we're not taking into account.
So if he lost 4 points.
Yeah, so that's a 6.9 margin. So he could only lose three.
What we're not taking into account is the fact that the Republicans might nominate like a literal fascist, like completely insane right winger as well, kind of like what happened in Pennsylvania, right? So that could definitely
be a problem. They absolutely are. I see erosion for us. I don't see us doing better than 2018. I mean, we lost seats every cycle after 2018. But like, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win by 2 points.
I think it'll be close.
It'll be close, but my bias is that it just like And when I say my bias, I just mean based on sort of historical election outcomes. It just seems like these incumbents are just really strong in these Senate races. And like, I think Montana is a much more up in the air seat to me than Ohio for a number of reasons. But like, I think John Tester can still pull it out if he runs and is, you know, generally just runs like he's been running. Arizona is also pretty interesting because you've got potentially Kristen Sinema running as like kind of a third party double spoiler. Like, who does she take more from, Carrie Lake or like the Democrat? That election could be fucking disastrous because it could end up being like Carrie Lake being the senator from Arizona or something. But
so Montana, last time, John Tester got 50.3% of the vote. Rosendale got 46.8%. I'm assuming the rest went to a Libertarian. Now we need to see if the Libertarian Party is fielding a Senate candidate and like they have ballot access there, because they're going to do worse because the Mises caucus has destroyed their infrastructure. I don't imagine them doing as well as they did last
time. Wait, not based.
Yeah, based.
Fucking, it's really bad, actually.
Destroying the Libertarian Party.
I should say based, but I hate it's first past the post. Oh my God, I hate this.
That's true. We need the Libertarians.
What I do recall from polling on Sinema is that it was like a month after she like abandoned the Democratic Party. She was winning like 5% of Democratic votes. It was like abysmal for her. Like the average Democratic Party partisan is like sees no blue next to her name and their eyes light up and they just immediately like the average Democratic voter is very strongly partisan. Is all. Same as for the Republican.
I was gonna ask
but
as
the
well.
Thing like, is there any Republicans that are gonna vote for her?
Yes, in the same poll, yeah. It was roughly even when I was looking at it, but that was a year ago, so I don't
know.
What it is
the
now.
Polling seems to show that she takes about 5% from each party, essentially. And I was going to ask, like, on that theme of third party candidates, I was going to ask, like, what do you guys think about somebody in the chat's been talking, like, what about Kennedy? What about Kennedy? Fucking talk about Kennedy. And it's like, well, what do you guys think about, like, because there are kind of a lot of potential spoilers. Like, you've got Cornel West, Jill Stein, Kennedy. Like, what do we think will be?
I mean, just bluntly,
I don't think Cornel West has a ballot access.
Cornel West isn't getting on the ballot, so very few people are going to write him in. Kennedy's only on the ballot in one state, so very people are going to write him in. And there's some third guy I forget even the name of. But, like, these are all so minor, and they're so inept at running, they aren't even, like, a major challenge. I will just say on Kennedy, we didn't talk earlier about foreign policy. I think Bernie would have been better than Biden on foreign policy. Like, he's still fairly interventionist. He would have supported Ukraine, but he would have been way harder on places like Israel. Whatever, but pulling aside from that, I know that could be a 15-minute conversation. Kennedy, if the big thing you're worried about is warmongering, Kennedy is like the most pro-Israel candidate in the Democratic or formerly Democratic Party. Like, he is like extremely strongly pro-Israel. And he's against funding Ukraine, but that's just because he's like pro-Russia. So I don't think this is the guy to go for like a principled anti-war stance.
Yeah. So. Kennedy, the thing about Kennedy is, like, I'd actually want him to be on the ballot because I feel like he'd be a Trump spoiler, but we need to do he would be a Trump spoiler if we propped him up as a Trump spoiler. Like, we sent anti-Kennedy campaign ads to likely Trump voters that basically said, this guy's so awful, Democrats hate him, look, Joe Biden hates this guy.
system. Who was that trans woman who had a beer? What was the trans woman who had a beer and that, like, that made conservatives just go insane? What was her name?
Oh, Dylan Mulvaney, right?
We need Dylan Mulvaney to like just nonstop be like, oh, this Kennedy guy, he's terrible. I hate this Kennedy guy. And instantly 10% of Trump voters, Kennedy stands for life.
Well, that's my thought. I was talking to Micah about this before, where I think that Kennedy, so he's polling like unbelievably well, but I think that 10 months into a general election campaign, I think 10 months into a general election campaign, all the Democrats and left-leaning people that are supporting him now in the polling, they'll realize how crazy he is and pull back and support Biden. But like SDL said, I think that, and like Micah alluded to, I think that what'll be left come November, if he's still running, is like 5% of people that are like mostly pretty crazy, like anti-vax, like Republicans who probably would otherwise vote for Biden end up voting for Kennedy instead. So it'll probably be a bit of a problem.
But I think he does take some Biden voters, and I think it's specifically because of his new, very problematic messaging strategy. So his old messaging strategy was awesome. It was like, I hate vaccines. I hate the woke mob corporations.
Wow,
like, I am I'm getting a lot of time hitting on immigration
as well. He went to the border and he was talking about how we need to shut it down.
Yeah. He was like, defund Ukraine, fund border security and deportations. And I was like, dude, this is great. Like, I love this guy. This guy's awesome. Now he's like, I want to be a moderate unifier. I want to bring people together and bridge the divide and talk about the issues that unite all of America. And I'm like, fuck. Like, no, like, that actually appeals to, like, our voters.
Micah says,
and it's not
Kennedy,
going to appeal to most
of them. Please be more racist. Please embrace racism, Mr. Kennedy.
Yes. Yes, please. Please. But I'm glad he doesn't. I hope he gets ballot access in, like, I honestly hope that he gets access in, like, lean red states and that we can prop him up to do so well that we make them swing states. That'd be the ideal situation for us.
It's funny. Texas access for Kennedy. We're getting Blexus one way or another.
Goodness. We'll see.
I think U.S. partisanship is so insanely strong. So we have a first past the post system, which only really works for two parties. And yet our system is, in terms of how people vote versus how the elections turn out, our system is so close to literally 98% or something of voters choose one of the two parties. Our system is more representative in that sense
than, like,
some countries that have single transferable vote. Like, because of how close people vote to that two party ideal, like, we don't actually have a lot of wasted votes in the system. People are incredibly strategic.
We don't have PR, but the number of wasted votes
our wasted votes are similar to those of PR systems, which is incredible because people are insanely partisan and insanely strategic voters in the system, which I think is bad.
Unlike
I don't
Canadians.
Want that system, but, like, at least they know what system they're in and they're actually working with it. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like
number
sounds
one
like we
strategic
think that,
voting award.
It sounds like we think that. So would it be fair to say if Biden loses, it's probably not because of Cornel West, Jill Stein or Kennedy's campaigns?
I mean, it's always possible.
No.
But I mean,
I feel like in 2016, what was it? 50,000 votes across three states. Like, Jill Stein gets 1% of the vote. I mean, it's kind of a
problem is that it's not clear what percent of the Green voters you should, quote unquote, give to the Democrats. Like, in a world where the Green Party didn't exist, what percent of them would hedge and vote for the Democrats? And my assumption, just based on talking with, like, hundreds and hundreds of Green Party voters, is that it's, like, I don't know, 10% or something. There's a lot of people who, if they couldn't vote Green,
just wouldn't spoken
vote.
To the entire Green Party. Hundreds.
You joke, but there's only 15,000 people who vote in the Green primary, like, nationwide. Like, I've actually talked about how DSA could take over the Green Party if we wanted to. If we just got half of the people in the DSA to join the Green Party, we could choose their candidate.
DSA Green
which
Alliance.
I'm not saying is useful.
Make it happen.
I don't think that would be particularly useful, but we could do it.
Here's what y'all should do. I mean, like, your organization's crazy. You might be one of the few reasonable people on there, but I think if y'all were reasonable, y'all would take over the Green Party, and then you would just close them. Like, you just close the doors. Sorry, guys. Goodbye. Jill that we like is Joe Biden.
I'm convinced that what you should do with the Green Party is, like, run it in all the solid blue states, but then fail to get ballot access in the swing states. Run it in the red, run it in the blue, but you have, like, a 5-point margin around the swings, and then it's perfect.
But what's the point? Right. Like what's just run in the primary, y'all? Like,
well, I mean, I'm also
lucky.
I want people to be like, wow, green politics, this is so cool.
God, their policies are so bad. Their policies
look, the
like
green, the Green Party,
everything.
The Green Party is a good, it's potentially a good avenue for a discussion on another day. But I wanted to cut our discussion here. We got to move on to our next topic here. We're about 30 minutes in.
Wait. We need to actually make predictions so that we can compare these. Because time I made election predictions, it's on my YouTube channel.
Okay,
I got
so
almost everything correct.
Let's predict the House, the Senate, and the presidency. I'll go first. I'll say Republican. I'll say Republicans keep a slight margin in the House in 2024. I'll say Democrats keep the Senate, and I'll say Joe Biden wins. But it'll be similarly close in 2020. I think Joe Biden will win a pretty close race.
I'm pessimistic based on the polling. I know the polling isn't super predictive this way out, but I assume Republican president, Republican Senate, Republican House, all pretty slim.
Holy
for
shit.
The Senate and the
SDL
House.
SDL doomer pill. Jesus.
The polling's not good, and the special elections have not been great. Like, the special elections before, I think, what was it, the 7th? whatever it was in November, they were like plus four Dem. But after then, they've been plus two Republican, which is really worrying because that means that Biden loses and we probably lose the Senate. So that's my prediction.
So SCL's prediction is fascism. Okay, yeah. Folks, I'm about to hope kill all of you. Okay, we're getting the House. If we get the presidency, we get the House. I don't even think that's... I haven't seen a prediction where we get the presidency, but we don't get the House.
Well, that happened in 2012 in Obama's reelection, you know.
Obama's a unique candidate. Now, in terms of...
Is he uniquely bad? Is that what we're saying?
Obama was very good for himself, very bad for everybody else, unfortunately. God bless the man. But that's we did awful down ballot in every single election except for 2008 with Obama as the lead. But do we win the Senate? It's going to be either 50 or 49. And the only one that's in question is Montana. That's the one I think we can lose. I think we're going to win in Nevada. I think the Republican Party organization there is very weak and they keep nominating awful candidates. I think Carrie Lake is an awful candidate. And I think since abortion's on the ballot, it's going to help us. I think Sherrod Brown is a really strong candidate. And I think John Tester's a strong one too. But since the Libertarians are going to do worse and it was so tight last time, I imagine we lose it. Now, this is my argument against what SDL is saying. Every single trend is going to be benefiting us. Me and Econoboy talked about this previously. Israel-Palestine is going to be wrapped up or out of the news in 11 months. It just will be. Like, nobody cares about Ukraine anymore. Like, I'm telling you, people, okay, the vast majority, we're talking about voters here. We're not talking about, like, hyper-online people. Are they going to be talking about Israel-Palestine and making their voting decision on that day in November based on Israel-Palestine? I do not think they will be. I simply think it will be out of people's minds. We're going to be thinking about marijuana. We're going to be thinking about the fascist thing Trump said yesterday. We're going to be thinking about the new executive order Biden just signed. The economy is going to continue to get better. The economy is going to continue to get better. That's at least what the trend seems, which means that people are going to adjust to their prices. And we know that economic outlook is sticky, but it's not permanent, right? I think the outlook is going to improve over time. And in addition, Trump is going to be spending so much of his money and time looking like a muzzled dog on TV in court cases because he doesn't want to get punished by the courts. I think it's going to hurt him a lot because, like, we're saying this guy's not going to be able to spend the money that a normal candidate would, and he's not going to be able to campaign like a normal candidate would. That costs you some voters.
So I guess I think that when the polling and the special elections seem to line up with like a minus two environment, I guess that's where I lean. The hope, like, I think you are presenting the hopeful case, but it's a hopeful case for the future, and we won't know it till we get there, which is unfortunate. It's not the sort of thing where, like, oh, the economy's already good, and we know it because the special elections are good. We know it because the polls are good. We have to assume that these polls are not representative of the general. We have to assume the specials are not representative of the general, which is why I'm dooming, because I assume things will probably tend to be roughly where they are now. I don't know. It seems like confidence has very slowly been ticking up in the economy.
I mean, 10 months is a long time after, you know, if it slowly ticks up for 10 months, you know, that's a big difference between now and 10 months from now. Right. So I don't know. I mean, that's where it is. It sounds like we have very disparate, somewhat disparate predictions. I guess Mike is the most
only
hopeful.
One will win.
Yeah. Unified Democratic government says Mike, unified Republican government says SDL. And I guess I'm in the middle here. I say Biden. Split government with Biden as the president.
I feel like if I was
I think that I think that we can lose the Senate.
If I was going to say anything, it would be Democratic president, Democratic House, but Republican Senate. Like that, like you lose Manchin at least.
So I think Republicans,
we have 51 though.
Republicans are gerrymandering more, and like not only are there more states that are Republican gerrymandered, they're also Republican gerrymanders have become even more insane over the years, where, like, I think the structural deficit in the House probably widening. Like, yes, New York might be gerrymandered in 2024. Like, I think that that's probably a good thing. And maybe if California stopped being, you know, oh, we're just going to do this nonpartisan shit, like, maybe California would make a huge difference. But that's not going to happen. So that's why I would say, just generally speaking, Senate elections don't have gerrymandering, right? So that's why I give a slight edge to the Democrats.
I have good news for you. We actually, there's a map that you can look at that shows you the net impact of the gerrymander. It looks like the blue team did gerrymander a lot, because the net impact is, I believe, there's four swing seats that are gone, and there's four more lean Democratic seats. That is the net impact. That's all that happened. Okay. Yeah, like places like Texas, we lost Democratic seats. But in places like Wisconsin, or
right, like
Wisconsin,
the net impact, I understand.
One,
yeah, you can be right.
Yeah,
you can be right. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
That's what the map says. And we know how good these election predictions are, generally speaking. But yeah, Mr. Trust the Polls SDL.
I've always taken a consistent Trust the Polls position. In 2016, I said Trust the Polls, Hillary will win. In 2020, I said Trust the Polls, Biden will win. And in 2024, I'm saying Trust the Polls, Trump will win. It's that simple.
Like, I think we all hope
you're
right,
Micah. Were wrong in the midterms. They were wrong in the midterms. They were wrong in 2016. I think they're...
How far off were they?
They were wrong in the midterms.
Like 2 points?
They were. I think they were a good like 3 points off. We can run that. That's a good discussion for a different time.
Okay, yeah, that is a discussion for another time.
I mean, running from the discussion.
Get some spreadsheets out.
All right, all right. Well, hey, maybe this...
Just to finalize my predictions. Just to finalize my prediction.
I'm right.
I think we're going to win the House. I think we're going to win the presidency. And if we lose the Senate, it will be by one seat.
Wow. I mean, that's the one seat that matters, I guess, right? Well, hey, we'll see. Obviously, we all hope that you're right, Micah, that the Democrats come out unified government 24, implement socialism, as we're all hoping. And we know that Biden will do that, of course, if he does win re-election. So...